Devil Radio, your fix for progressive news talk from Verona to Sun Prairie. Always streaming at DARNWI.com.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning.
Welcome back to Matthew and Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is a story that surprises me, and I don't know why the Biden administration can't do something about it. When Trump was on the way out, he appointed a number of what he called watchdogs or inspectors general in different departments, Homeland Security, Defense, Environment, and so on. And they were his people. And what they were supposed to do is obey his orders. And in other words, not be too much of a watchdog, not inquire too deeply into the chicanery that was going on. Well, when Biden was elected, and I know that he has a lot on his plate, but he slowly started to replace a lot of people, but he did not replace the inspector general, the watchdog in the Department of Homeland Security, Joseph Cufari, Trump guy. Joseph Cufari has refused to a request by the January 6th Commission to produce the texts and the emails of the Secret Service of January 5th and 6th to give greater clarity and insight as to what Trump was doing and what the Secret Service was doing. They were destroyed, supposedly, but even that, Cufari knew they'd been destroyed. They knew they'd been destroyed in May of 21, right after Biden got in. And he sat on it and he lay in the weeds for a year. And then when the January 6th Commission asked for it, said they were destroyed, but he didn't tell anybody for a year. Benny Thompson, the chair of the January 6th Commission, and Carolyn Maloney, New York Congresswoman, both blasted him for not producing the documents and lying in the weeds like a rattlesnake for a year and not disclosing that their story was that they had been destroyed, and also for refusing to testify to the January 6th Commission. They've asked him to testify. He said no. He won't let his deputy testify. He won't let any of the staff of the DHS testify. And Joe Biden's the president. Joe Biden's the president. Then the January 6th Commission asked him to recuse himself from any further investigation of this issue of the Secret Service texts. And he won't recuse himself. He's sitting like a spider, like a Black Widow spider on it. Like a Black Widow spider. My question is, why doesn't he get fired? You know, I've talked about Louis DeJoy getting fired as the Postmaster General. And that's something that the president can't do, but the board of the post office can, and the president has replaced a lot of them. But Moscow Mitch is refusing to let them be confirmed. And that's how the Republicans have kept control of the post office, so that Louis DeJoy can destroy mail sorting machines and make it harder to mail absentee ballots. But in the Department of Homeland Security, that's a cabinet level position, whoever the head of it is, and the inspector general should be somebody that the president can replace or the DHS secretary can. And you know something? Here's the thing. If there is some tricky little thing here where they go, no, they can't do it, you know something? Do it anyway. And if he shows up to work, arrest him. Have the Secret Service right now, under Merrick Garland, carry him out, spread eagle, one man on an ankle, each ankle, one man on each wrist, and dump him on the sidewalk. Say, Cufari, go back to Moscow, okay? That's what I would do. That's what I would do. The clown is hiding the destruction of Secret Service techs. The clown knew about it as of May of 21, when they were destroyed, allegedly. Clown didn't tell anybody. He lay in the tall grass, his beady eyes peeking up through the tall grass. Now he won't cooperate. He won't be interviewed. He won't let his deputies be interviewed. He won't recuse himself. What is going on? What is going on? We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill of Oconomowoc?
Actually, today I don't have a lot to say, just a little. But I want to thank you a lot, Matt. You're quite an educator when it comes to political science or political topics. Half of the stuff that you talk about, you don't hear on the news, you don't hear on whatever station you want to go to, you don't hear. You enlighten a lot of people to what's going on in the battle to save democracy. But I truly believe the timing couldn't be better for the elections this year, the midterm elections, with the way things are coming into place with January 6th, with some of these other investigations going into Trump. I would guess, I mean, if I was a betting man, the odds look like by the time November comes, if Democrats can't win now, then they're never going to win. What's your thoughts? I'll hang up. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much for those kind words, Bill. And yeah, let me tell you, the book, if you were a professional, horse race guy, you would say, well, in the last, 50 years, when the presidency is held by one party, the other party in the off-year election picks up seats. But there have been exceptions, and I'm going to give you a couple of the exceptions. In 2006, George W. Bush held the presidency, but they picked up seats, the Republicans, because people still, after the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan and 9/11 and all that kind of thing, they thought that they were being supportive of the United States, although they were wrong. Now, in 1998, Bill Clinton was in his second term as president. The midterms should have lost a lot of seats. We picked up about 7 or 8 seats because people liked Bill Clinton. And number two, they thought that the impeachment was crooked. And that's why that happened. And frankly, one of their great slogans was, what is it about peace and prosperity you don't like? What is it about peace and prosperity you don't like? But the big one that people are analogizing now is 1934. 1934, Franklin Roosevelt had been in two years. Middle of a depression, fascism was rising in Europe. You could already see it in Germany with the rise of Hitler as chancellor. It was rising in Japan. And even in the United States, Huey Long was the governor of Louisiana. And people thought he might beat Roosevelt in a primary in the Democratic Party in 1936. And he was an American fascist. He was sort of like Trump. In any event, Roosevelt stood tall. And everybody said, oh, Roosevelt's going to lose 50 seats. Well, Roosevelt picked up seats because he said, look, I'm going to push through the New Deal. I'm going to bust this depression. I'm going to put America back on track. And people analogize what Biden has done to what Roosevelt did. And I don't want to overstate it, okay? Franklin Roosevelt is Franklin Roosevelt. And typically when they rank presidents, the two at the top are Lincoln and George Washington, but third is Franklin Roosevelt. And it's not hard to see why. One won the Revolutionary War, one won the Civil War, and one won World War II against the Nazis and the Japanese. So, to analogize anybody to these kinds of people, it may be extreme, but I think there is benefit to do it. And, that's what I think. I think we may pick up seats or hold our own. Thanks for calling. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn, director. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today. How to fight in the ghetto.